Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing in our series looking at how we love God, or how we love in general, and we're looking at the four loves as described by Bernard of Clairvaux. So last time we looked at loving God, but for our own sakes, for what we can receive from God, both in terms of the salvation that God gives us and also the gifts, mercies, and blessings he bestows upon us. But this time we're looking at loving God for God's sake, and we're going to look at Psalm 63 for this reflection. So I'm just going to read Psalm 63 for us now. You God are my God, earnestly I seek you, I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. So as I was saying, we're looking at the idea of loving God for God's sake. So Bernard of Clairvaux argues that when we constantly receive the blessings and mercies of God, when we are being constantly rescued from the pit of our despair and trouble, this leads us to begin to love God for God's sake, not merely for our own. He argues that even the hardest of hearts will begin to soften as we recognise the wonder of who God is and how much he loves us and how generous he is with pouring out his blessings. So here's what he says in his own words. But if trials and tribulations continue to come upon us, every time God brings us through, even if our hearts were made of stone, we will begin to be softened because of the grace of the rescuer. Thus, we will begin to love God not merely for our own sakes, but for himself. So as our hearts are softened by realising that God is with us and brings us through our trials and tribulations, so we begin to love God for himself. So what does it mean to love God for God's sake? How can we help ourselves to have that love for God? Well, we're going to first look at the idea of having a God-filled longing. So David speaks about this longing in his psalm by relating it to the sensation of physical thirst. I thirst for you, my whole being longs for you, in a dry and parched land where there is no water. So at the time when David wrote this psalm, he was actually in the desert of Judah. So the parallel between thirsting for God and thirsting for water in a dry and parched land was very apt for his situation. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never experienced that level of physical thirst. The convenience of the modern day means that if we live in places like the UK, we are never far away from access to water or drink of some kind. But David could easily relate to that sensation of desperate thirst, the kind of thirst that needs immediate attention, a thirst so intense it is the only thing on one's mind. And it is that kind of longing that David speaks of when he says his whole being longs for God. So how much do we long for God? Do we long for God with our whole being, as if we thirst in a dry and parched land? When we long for God, we're longing for that deep connection that comes from a true and heartfelt relationship with him. David speaks about God saying, "You, God, are my God." And this statement isn't just recognizing that God exists, nor is it just stating that God is the God of Israel. No, this is a declaration of personal connection to God. You are my God. Now, this is significant, particularly in ancient Israel, as it would have been easy to have quite a distant relationship with God. Many of the interactions between God and his people were being mediated through the high priest. And so people would not necessarily have felt that personal connection to God. Their faith would have been reliant on the involvement of other people to perform the rituals and sacrifices that would have helped them to connect to God. So for David to state, "God, you are my God," is quite a profound statement. It demonstrates that David wanted more than just a mediated relationship with God. He wanted his own personal relationship. David longed to be connected to God. And I'm reminded of one of the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And David seemed to embody that desire to love God with all he had. My whole being longs for you. So one of the first things that we need to do if we want to love God for his own sake is to desire it. We need to long for God with our whole beings, to have God-filled longing. And secondly, we want to have God-centered prayer. If we want to achieve the state of loving God for God's own state, on own sake, then we need to ensure that we can, as Bernard says, continually go to God with our needs and pray. And by this, it doesn't mean that we wake up each morning and just read off a shopping list of our needs and wants and then continue on with the rest of our day. If we do that, we will only ever remain in that second stage of love, in which we only love God for what we can get from him. Instead, when we come to God in prayer, we need to actually stop and take time to be in his presence. In Psalm 63, David talks about how his whole being longs for God, and he's able to say this because, as David says, "I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory." David was able to truly long for God because he had spent time with God and been touched by God's glory and power. He had a sense of how amazing God is, and he wanted more and more of it. When we experience some of the character of God, or his power, or any aspect of who he is, it leaves us wanting more of that experience. And so we recognise that God's love is better than life. That's an amazing statement to make, isn't it? Your love is better than life. When we meet with God, we experience his love, his friendship, his fatherhood, his compassion. Do we realise that his love is better than life? When we sit and pray to God, do we get a sense of that love? Or have we simply allowed our prayer routine to become habit? Routine. Kind of just something that we do. When you pray, ask God to open your eyes to the wonder of his life. Ask him to help you cherish time spent with him, to want to rest secure and complete in his love. The words of one of my favourite worship songs says, "To be in your presence, to sit at your feet, where your love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire." And then the second verse says, "To rush in your presence, not rushing away, to cherish each moment, here I would stay." When we pray, if we want our love to grow and develop, we need to be prepared to rest in God's presence and to sit at his feet. But if we sit with God, we begin to feel his presence with us, and this leads us to love God for his own sake. As Bernard puts it, in those prayers, the grace of God is tasted, and by frequent tasting, it is proved to us how sweet the Lord is. Thus, it happens that once God's sweetness has been tasted, it draws us to the pure love of God, more than our needs compel us to love him. Thus, we begin to say, we now love God, not for our necessity, for we ourselves have tasted and know how sweet the Lord is. It is clear in this psalm that David spent good quality time with God. He wrote about spending time with God even as he settled in bed. When we spend time with God, we are able to taste and see that the Lord is good. So we need to have God-filled longing. We need to have God-centered prayer. We also need to have God-focused praise. We also see that David was able to connect to God and love him because he praised God. David doesn't just praise God directly for what God has done for him, although he does that as well, but he praises God because God is praiseworthy. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Even David's praise of God is predominantly God-focused. He's not focused on himself as he praises God, but on giving God the glory and honour he deserves. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he gave us the Lord's model, the Lord's Prayer as a model to base our prayers on. He starts first and foremost with praise of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. These words are a recognition of the glory, the holiness, and the wonder of God. It is an acknowledgement and a praise of the nature of God. If we could say praises to God every minute of every day for our entire lives, we would not run out of reasons to praise God, and we would still never be able to glorify God as much as he deserves. When we praise God, we connect to him because we choose to focus on his character and his nature. We remember the things he has done, which causes us to want to praise him. And so this helps us to love God, not for our own sakes, but because God is most deserving of all our love and praises. So God-filled longing, God-centered prayer, God-focused praise, and God-directed listening. So having God-filled prayer and God-focused praise are important to learn to love God for God's own sake. But in any relationship, if we want to get to know someone, if we want to love them, we need to listen to them. Let me give you a bit of an example of this. When I was at university, I was friends with a guy who I also found quite attractive. I wondered if this could be someone I could have a relationship with as a boyfriend. So I tried to spend more time to see whether I wanted to date this guy. It didn't take me long, though, before I was put off from the idea, because although I spent quite a lot of time listening and paying attention to him, mainly because I liked him and wanted him to like me, I soon noticed that he spent a lot of time talking, but not much time listening in return. It hit me particularly hard one day when I was feeling a bit low and could have done with a friend to listen to me. This guy came and sat down next to me, launched into a rant about something that had frustrated him, and then walked off again. And I remember thinking, he didn't stop to listen to me at all. Now, looking back at that story, I can see parallels to the way we treat God. I think we often come to God like this friend. We sit down next to him, launch into a rant of what we are upset about, and then we walk off again. But God is longing for us to hear what he says back to us. And unlike in my story, God doesn't want to talk to us to unburden his own frustrations. He wants to talk to us because he loves us and wants to comfort, support, inspire, challenge, and grow us to our full potential. Are we letting God speak back to us, or do we just sort of reel off our own thoughts and words and feelings and then leave? In Psalm 63, David says, "I think of you through the watches of the night." Or in other versions, like the NRSV, it tells us that, "I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night." Now, this concept of meditation has often been associated with Eastern spirituality, with images of people sitting cross-legged and chanting. But as we can see here, meditation isn't exclusively found in Eastern spirituality. And one definition of the word meditate says, "Focus one's mind for a period of time in silence or with the aid of chanting for religious or spiritual purposes or as a method of relaxation." And then another definition adds something that I find quite profound. "A definite focusing of one's thoughts on something so as to understand it deeply." I love that that definition. "A definite focusing of one's thought on something so as to understand it deeply." David meditated on God in the watches of the night. He focused his thoughts and attentions on hearing from God because he wanted to understand deeply what God was saying to him. David loved God so much that he wanted to understand God deeply, not just because it would benefit him and give him direction for his life, but because he wanted that personal connection, that deep relationship with God. David loved God for God's own sake, and he constantly sought to deepen his love for God by spending time with him and listening to him. It is all too easy, in relationships with other people and in our relationship with God, to listen with half an ear, to hear but not to truly listen. When I was at Spurgeon's, we were taught about the importance of active listening, and this was particularly in the context of pastoral care situations. They told us that we need to learn to listen without composing our own response to them in our head. It sounds easy, but after the service, try to listen to someone without giving some of your attention to what you are going to say next. After this reflection, try to listen to someone without giving some of your attention to what you're going to say next. When we talk to God, we are often focusing on what we are going to tell him next, or we are focusing on the things that we've got to do for the rest of the day, or about 500,000 other things that rush through our head. And I'm not saying this to condemn you. God understands. He knows that we are human and easily distracted. But he also wants to spend time with us when we are fully focused on him. When we talk to God, can we learn to develop God-directed listening? So as we come to the end of this reflection on loving God for God's own sake, take time in this moment to come before God. Come to him with your needs and concerns. God wants us to bring all that we are. So yes, if you feel like you've got a shopping list of things you want God to help you with, then bring that shopping list. But don't let that be the only thing that you have a conversation with God about. Recognize his character, his nature, and praise him. Develop a longing to be with him. Take time to just rest in his presence, not rushing away, and focus on listening to him and not all the distractions that flit through your mind. Let us learn to love God, for God's own sake. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that there are so many reasons to love you, to praise you, to worship you. And we're sorry when we are distracted or we only give half-hearted commitment to you. Lord, help us to long to be with you, long to have that deep relationship with you. Help us to keep you at the centre of our prayers, not focusing on ourselves, but on you. Lord, give us a desire to praise you for all that you've done. And Lord, help us to listen to you. To truly listen and not just formulate our own responses. In this we pray. Amen.